You know, as I read that gospel and I started working on the sermon this week, I thought that most of us, when we get a little push, what are we going to do? Most people will usually push back a little bit. But then when we are pushed harder, we will resist even more. An example of that is a mother was talking to her teenage daughter, and she said, "I'd like for you to clean your room before you go away for the weekend." And the little girl groans and says, "Do I have to?" And the mother says, "Yes, you do." "I don't want to." "Do it. And that's final." "No, I won't." Then you hear the slam and bang, and there went the door shut. Very few of us like to be pushed. And that's true of all adults, not only young people. Sometimes, however, if you really think about it, God pushes us. God nudges us towards something that we had no intention of doing. In fact, something that we may have been dead set against. Human tendency is to dig in our heels and fight back with all of our might, or at least drag our feet a little bit. I'm going to tell you a little story about what pushes can do. There's Eleanor Roosevelt. She was very much up in years at the time, and she was spending most of her day living at the swimming pool, and she was on the diving board at the swimming pool. People by the score would come to the pool, children as well, and they noticed her diving. She would dive, swim, climb out. Dive, swim, climb out. Continuously, she would do that. Finally, someone saw this and noticed it and went up to Miss Roosevelt and said, "Mrs. Roosevelt, you surely must love to dive." And she said, "Love it? I hate it." Then she asked her, "Well, why do you bother to do it if you hate it so much?" "Well," she said, "someone has to set an example for the children." In her own gentle way, but very determined way, every dive she made was a vote of encouragement to those children watching. It was a push to the people watching. For those children who had that bug-eyed and open mouth, and they watched this old woman, and she began to think, "Well, if she can do it, guess what? I could do it as well." Hers was a life-giving push. And she nudged those children and anyone else toward their potential. My first point for you today is God pushes are always life-giving. God's pushes are always life-giving. God wants change in our lives. God wants us to push us out of the ruts that we are in. God wants us to learn to change for new ways, making our lives better. The gospel story of Jesus encountering the Canaanite woman was one of those very surprising and very uncomfortable pushes if you read the text closely. In the years which followed Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, the story of Jesus and the Canaanite woman was repeated among the followers of the Lord. Eventually, Mark and then Matthew came to include it in their gospels. Why did they do it? Well, quite frankly, in some ways, the story does not seem very complimentary to Jesus. He surely is no eager beaver, so to speak, to respond to the wishes of the woman. In fact, it seems like he's barely even civil towards the woman. Yet, here it is. For the church to read time and time again, this text appears on a yearly basis. Why? Because in it is God's push. In it is God's hand at work, edging Jesus toward a wider mission than he was ever at a point aware. The push was to reach out to the people about when they really, to be honest, were not interested to go. So God's pushes are always life-giving. Secondly, God's pushes you and me as well. The story in the Bible is so that God can push you and me and also our congregation and anyone listening on the radio or watching us on YouTube can push us into reaching out in love, to people we never thought we'd care about. You heard in the announcement this morning that we're asking you to give to the people in Beirut. People you probably never thought you would want to give anything to. But that's reaching out in love and giving a love gift to help out them who are having such a trouble at this time. In America, even, there are millions of people who are unchurched. Some of the folks really ever never really know, or they've never even heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? There are some people in this world who have never even heard about the love of Jesus. And if they have, they reject him and his church on the basis of false messages they picked up along the way. Some of them are people who have been wounded by others, by one thing or another. And now they need someone or somebody to come in and provide healing for that deep pain they may have inside. Some of them are people who have made their own little gods. Their pain has become so bad that they start having their own little gods. Their gods may be work, leisure, free time, games, good times, bank accounts. These are little gods, but they're very powerful gods in a person's life who keep these people from knowing the freedom of life, the freedom that we have in the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And these people, God pushes them to notice. God pushes us to notice them and care about them and seek to draw them into the life of a Christian. The danger in all of this is that we will be content with who we are and what we stand for. We have our own circle of friends. We feel comfortable. We have what we need. We feel comfortable. The church is here. We feel comfortable. That's good enough, isn't it? No, not at all. God is always pushing us by the presence of other people whose needs cry out for our attention. And we need to listen to those cries and answer those cries to the best of our ability so that we can minister to all people. God's push disturbs us enough to quit asking, "What is it in there for me?" And begin to asking, "What can I give? How can I serve? Who needs my help?" God needs more people who have the courage and the care to walk up to another person and simply just ask, "How are you?" and be ready to listen when there's an answer. Take time to listen with good ears, the ears of Jesus Christ. God's push is for our congregation. God's push is for Zion Lutheran. When areas that we may never have been before, and this virus is making us go into areas that we never thought we would go into, but he's pushing us to do things more creative, more willing to be there, getting more people involved in different ways so that we can serve the Lord, so that we can even be for other people what they never expected us to be. Yet it strikes me that there are new ways that we need to work on. There are new things that we need to come up with. There are new ideas out there that we can adapt into our ministry during this time that we can't be together as brothers and sisters in Christ physically. We need to show in clear ways that we, as a congregation, as a community, that we care about everyone. That everyone does matter. We need to be inviting, to find ways to be appealing to people who have all kinds of reasons that they should not bother with the church, should not bother with having a faith, and should definitely not bother in learning more about Jesus Christ. So is putting our church out there important? Absolutely. Letting other people know that the gospel is proclaimed in many ways that Zion Lutheran is so important. Why do you think we're on the radio? Why do you think we're on the YouTube channel? Why do you think we have a website? Why do you think we have people with voices so that other people may know about Jesus Christ? God nudges us. God moves us to places and people that we've never thought we would ever be involved with at all. One of the surprises, the very great surprises, is that we will often discover that God is ahead of us. And whatever we think is new territory, God's already been there. God's made the way for you. God is there to be with you all the way through it, just like he was with a Canaanite woman in our text today. To Jesus' amazement, she had a great faith. God worked in her life already. Even her faith was a push. Or was it a pull? To live in the ever-widening sweep of the God mercy of God. That is, this happens. This is the fact. This happens. That all the time, because there are no godless people, that is, people without God's work among them. See, God's work is out there among all people, whether they have a faith in God or not. And we need to be an example of that faith of God, that faith in God, that love of God. Be honest with you, God's push can scare the life out of you. I've been pushed in many ways in my ministry where it really scared me to get involved in that situation. But I could tell you this much, that through all the amazement of what I've been through in my ministry, God was there with me. God was guiding my mouth and my thoughts and my heart. And God will be with you to guide you and to lead you as he pushes you into new avenues of your ministry. But wherever people say, "Yes, Lord, I get the point," I want to tell you, if people will say that, and if you will say that with me in your heart right now, incredible things will happen. Incredible things like love and kindness, courage and peace. All those things we could not generate if we were doing it by ourselves. But with the love of Christ, all things are possible. Every one of them is our introduction to a new and better world. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.